There is a famous poem by the American poet Robert Frost. It's called The Road Not Taken. I wonder if you know it. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both, and be one traveller long I stood, and looked down one as far as I could, to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other as just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear. Though as for that, the passing there had worn them really about the same. I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less travelled by, and that has made all the difference. In our everyday lives, we are offered choices that may appear routine, but in fact carry with them a heavy freight of consequences. Our response, spontaneous and characteristic of us, may set off a chain reaction which carries us to goodness knows where. Looking back, we think, if I hadn't done that, everything would have turned out so differently. In the film Patton, the famous general of the same name is kneeling before an altar, reflecting on the personal calamity that has come his way. In the heat of the moment, he slapped a shell-shocked soldier at a Ford medical station. Now he must apologize to the entire army in an act of humiliation. A long period in the wilderness is about to follow, as he will be denied the operational command for which he has hungered all his life. Wonderingly, he asks God, how can one trivial act have such devastating consequences? Things turning out differently because of the road not taken. In the film The Last Temptation of Christ, there was something of a sensation as it was first screened, because in it, Martin Scorsese speculated that Christ did not die on the cross. Instead, he lives on into old age, married and surrounded by grandchildren. This idyll of domestic bliss would have involved walking away from certain situations that came his way. One such was this morning's healing of a leper. What could be more straightforward than an itinerant healer and exorcist being kind to a desperate person? But this one act changes everything. From now on, the storm clouds of opposition begin to build up. One by one, Jesus starts to fall foul of all the major religious groups. Not much further into the story, and he could ruefully agree with that famous remark of Otto von Bismarck, "The longer I live, the more enemies I make." Visiting Quail Island just out of Littleton a few years back, I came to understand something of the fear that leprosy inspires. This former quarantine station came to be New Zealand's last leper colony. Lepers were confined there for the rest of their lives, left to literally rot away. It was low tide, and as we looked out over several miles of mud flats to the shore at Teddington, our guide told us that this was the route taken by the one successful escaper that ever took place. I imagined the desperation feelings that motivated that lone escaper to pull himself over miles of sucking mud, racing to escape the incoming tide. To the contemporaries of Jesus, leprosy was more than a health problem. Theirs was a society governed by laws of ritual purity, clean or unclean, outside or offside with your neighbours and with God. It was the priests who made the rules. They had the power to decide whether you were acceptable company with other human beings and whether God regarded you with favour. That was the worst thing about leprosy, the total isolation. Nobody wanted to know you, and even God regarded you as damaged goods. And that's the ironic thing about today's story. At the end of it, the leper is cleansed and back in the bosom of Abraham. Now it's Jesus who can no longer go into a town openly, but has to stay out in the countryside. The roles have been reversed. The healer is now the cursed one. The priests had got the message. Jesus didn't agree with the rules of ritual purity that isolated and oppressed the people who needed the milk of human kindness. He was prepared to upset the apple cart in his own low-key way. Here was somebody they would have to do something about. But it needn't have come to this if only the leper had kept quiet, if only he had kept his trap shut as Jesus asked him to. It was the power of irresponsible gossip that set off the avalanche, in this case, of opposition. Yakety yakety yak yak yak, talk 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 talk, wagging tongues have the power to destroy communities of faith and end the careers of religious leaders. How well we understand the seductive temptation of this form of behaviour. I am such an important person because I've inside information, the real oil on what's going on around here. Listen to me. Pay attention to me. I matter. A series of indiscreet information disclosures. A secret widely shared about an apparently random act of healing. This is the tripwire that sets off the inner dynamic of this gospel story. The possibility of an honourable retirement after a long and satisfying ministry is rapidly fading now. Jesus is setting off on the road to the cross. No looking back now, no time for regrets, no if-onlys or what-ifs. It's an example to us. When we've set off some landmine in our life through some apparently routine choice, we need to embrace the follow-on reality with courage. Stick with the what is rather than the what might have been. It's one of the best pieces of advice I've ever received. It's carried me through a disaster or two. And the thing about the road to the cross is that it brought Jesus to the place of his greatest opportunity in ministry. As we shall be hearing on Good Friday, he accomplished there the greatest act of deliverance and healing possible for all humankind. Thanks be to God. Spoken in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.